And so this message is based on Matthew chapter 5. And if you turn there, it's verses 10 through 16, part of the Sermon on the Mount. But as we look at that and read those verses, starting in verse 10, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, and also our Lord and Savior." I'm adding that last part. "You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this challenge that you laid out 2,000 years ago to your disciples, to those in Israel and Judah and Galilee who would see this and hear this for the very first time. And I pray that the events of the last few days, many are going back to or seeing this verse for the first time as well. That we are called to be salt and light. And I fear far too long the church globally, but especially the church in this nation, has acquiesced to a position of weakness rather than strength. Not that it is strength from a pugilistic or a fist-fighting stance, but from a stance of boldness for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I praise God for the amount of times that Christ's name has been proclaimed these last 3+ days over the TV. It has been amazing. Who would have ever thought? But Father, just open our hearts to where you're taking us, where you're leading us. And we're here in small town Nunn or Alt or Pierce or Eaton or wherever it is, or Carr. But yet, it's still your mission field. Find us faithful that we give you the glory and that we make you known in this community for the greater good, that heaven will become crowded. Lives would be won. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Blessed are the persecuted. Those first three verses, 10, 11, and 12. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you. Blessed are and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you. Sometimes that takes real strength and courage. It always does. As I watched much of what I've watched Charlie for several years, not significantly, but somewhat. And I was amazed. I don't know how many conversations I've had with lots of people these last 4 days, but especially men 40 and younger talked about how impacted they were, that this really hit them hard. And I said, yeah. And some of you are seeing this for the first time. Some of us are long in the tooth and white-headed, or getting there. Or maybe no hair, whatever the case may be. But can go back to 1963 in November and remember exactly where you were when JFK was shot. I was in third grade in the lunchroom in Springfield, Colorado, when that happened. And I'll never forget the impact that hit me with in hearing that for the first time. And these young men today are saying, I can't believe how hard that hit me. And yes, I think it is a wake-up call that God is sending to the world globally. Yes, Charlie was a citizen of this country, and this is primarily where his ministry was. But if you've looked at any of the data and the media out there, it's global. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people, and I'm assuming that was a real video. With the AI today, you begin to question, like, is this really valid? But the people in London, the people in Israel, other places, just the phenomenon. The concert that took place, was it Saturday night or Friday night? The country singer, did you see that? And at the end, he held up the American flag, and people are chanting, Charlie Kirk, like they would chant USA, 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 but they're chanting, Charlie Kirk, Charlie Kirk, Charlie Kirk, and just going on and on and on. And I'm just amazed. Not that we're worshiping him, because we shouldn't. But as the media has played out this week, think about how many times have you heard Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father talked about by a plethora of newscasters. I mean, that just never happens. And you also knew that those who did not or would not fall into that discussion, or they would stand against it. But for the first time, it was very black and white. And it's out there. And it's going to be interesting to see where God takes this and what we do with it. But blessed are those who were persecuted. 1 Peter 3, 13 through 15. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense for everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. There still has to be a societal politeness. Meekness, maybe, is the right word. Not weakness. Not to say that we would turn away and not engage. God has called us to engage. That's why he put you in that situation. But to not have fear. Persecution comes in many forms. 1 Peter 4:14, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Think back about, just historically, what does persecution look like? And we only have art forms to look at. And I should have looked up the painter of this. This is on the book cover if you want to read an excellent book. Read Eusebius's History, and 90% of you I know will never go, because it's not one of those easy reads. It's church history, just like Josephus and Herodotus and some of those others that you'll rarely get into. But this is Nero's Colosseum, or what we perceive Nero's Colosseum to be. The Christians are huddled over in the corner as the lions and tigers are coming up from the area underneath. You can't really see it in that picture, but there's smoke. And Scott, I'm not going to use your bow because I messed that up the last time. But around the outside, behind the Christians, come down, Alan, come up just a tiny bit. There's poles right there. That's a person impaled on a pole who's been dipped in hot oil and then set afire. And they circle the Colosseum floor. That was Nero's favorite, to light Christians on fire. And then you go through history, and how many, whether it's Thomas Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury, who was burned at the stake, and so many. And Thomas Cranmer, when he wrote, he finally acquiesced to the Pope and denounced Christianity, which he had been proclaiming. And I think it was Mary, Queen of Scots, forgave him, but she was still going to kill him. And as he sat in a London prison, he finally recanted and wrote his recantation to the Pope and said, no, the Bible is real. Jesus Christ is the authority, not the Pope. And when they took him to the stake and they set the fire, they said, no, set the fire so that my hand burns first and is consumed, because this evil hand wrote the text that I am now recanting to you. And once it is consumed, then you can light me up. And so they did. But persecution comes in many forms. Go to the next one. And here. Blessed are those. And we know where that one goes. We know where all of those go. But what does God say? Do not fear their intimidation, nor be troubled. You can turn it on. But sanctify Christ as Lord and Savior. Matthew 4. Persecution even goes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we know, the cross, and what Rome, how Rome used that so much. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And you know the rest of that story as he is in the desert, until he resists, Christ resists the attacks by the evil one. And his fast is broken. And then he goes on and picks his disciples, and his ministry starts. But it's that spiritual warfare that's happening right there in the desert. It's the same spiritual warfare that we're seeing happening around us today. We went through a Bible study, the men's and women's Bible studies last spring, and talked about spiritual warfare and what that means. And there are several really good books out there on that topic, and I would recommend any of them. And if you want to know what those are, come and talk to me later if you're curious. But in the last 4 weeks, where have we seen that played out the most? The School of Annunciation in Minneapolis, as two children died, as a gunman roamed outside and wounded 17 others. One of the things that he was looking at as he prepared for that day, as he looked in the mirror at his home, and what he's seeing in the mirror is literally Baal, the image of Satan. And as he's looking in the mirror, that's what he's seeing as himself. Because obviously he has fallen to spiritual warfare and allowed the enemy to enter in. And I would just, if you want to see that, I thought about showing it here and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. But if you go to Jonathan Cahn Official, to that website, and pull up Charlie Kirk's shot, The Demonic Connection. I don't know if you had that ready to put up. We're not going to show the movie, but I was just going to put up that title. Jonathan Cahn Official. It's his official website. There are AI is impersonating Jonathan Cahn like you can't believe. So if it's not Jonathan Cahn Official, don't watch it because it's not his. It's somebody else's. And then the title is Charlie Kirk Shot, The Demonic Connection. And it's two minutes and 48 seconds into it, and you'll see it if you're interested. But evil is alive and well. And it's no surprise. What is Satan's mission? To seek, to devour, to destroy, to kill. And we are that witness. The lady in Charlotte, Irina Zarutska. That uncensored video is out there, and it's hard to watch. It's only 2 minutes long. The hard part is not just that the man wounds her and kills her, but all the people sitting around her do nothing as she lays there. No one comes to her aid. And that's what, the event is appalling enough, but to sit there and watch and just, no big deal. That's what really hurt. In that arena, satanic warfare, what are you exposing yourself to? What literature are you reading? What music are you listening to? What are your eyes and mind taking in as you're on the internet, or books that you're reading, or whatever you're consuming in terms of media? Material that is not Christian in nature. Is it Muslim-oriented? Is it satanic-oriented? Or you're just dabbling. It's bits and pieces. Who are you socializing with? What social media connections are out there that you're longing to mess with or see? Because every one of those allows for possession and ultimately worship. My mom, we put her into the nursing home the first week of June of this year. And the 30 days leading up to that, and maybe even longer, but as I would talk to her on the phone, she's in Springfield, 305 miles southeast of here. And I'm talking to her, and she's like, they're here. And I'm like, and mom has been a Christian all of her life. I'm like, who's there? My brother, my sister, because they live there. She says, no, they. And then I realize this is a demonic thing. And even though as she's 91 years old, back in February, March, she was watching a show on TV, just a news show, a newscast. And as she was watching that, this thought came to her. Jesus Christ is not real. And she said, I knew I was wrong, but I believed it. Think about that. And that's exactly how the evil one works. Probably 2 years ago on a Sunday morning in here preaching, and a certain gentleman brought up the topic that as you get older, shouldn't it get easier? No. No, it gets harder. And that's why James 1, verse 2, count it all joy that you, when you encounter various trials. I have that memorized and it's not even coming to me right now. I try to go through that book in memory and it's failing me. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You need, as you go through your Christian life and as those things happen, what is God building in you? He is building endurance for what is to come and what you will be able to stand and witness and bear witness and to whom and where God is calling you. Count it all joy. And maybe you're a young man or a young woman saying, I just experienced this. And maybe it was a demonic attack or something. Count it a joy. Because bigger things are coming. You need to be prepared. And so as I talked to Mom about that, I'm like, here's a lady that's 91 years old. Satan is still attempting to destroy. And over that first week of June, I spent 3 days, some people would use the word exercising, but casting out. There were three separate demons who had taken place. And just getting her through that. And she's like, but as a Christian, I should not be here. Why are you any different, Mom, than any of the rest of us? You aren't. When you least expect it, he is there to tempt because he's looking for that doorway. Just like this young man in Minneapolis, because there were children that could be accessed. And so think about that. What are you looking at? What are you listening to? What are you seeing? How are you preparing your mind for the battle? And go to Ephesians, the armor of God, and put on that armor daily. You need it. We need it. I need it. Because you don't know when that next attack is coming. And I guarantee you it's coming. Salt and light. Matthew 5, 13 and 15. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Luke talks about in 14, 34 and 35, he talks about that. Therefore, salt is good. But if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. To be salt. to be light. Alan, I'm going to skip that verse. I'm going to come back to it there in Thessalonians. But light, Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. What are we living in? A crooked and perverse generation. Among whom you, us, we Christians, appear as lights of the world. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. I talked about this earlier, quenching the spirit when God knocks. What are you doing? Do not quench the spirit, but despise prophetic utterances. And there's a lot of those out there. It seems like everybody on the internet has a prophetic warning. I ignore all of those. Go directly here. What does God say? But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. And think about that. He who is faithful in a little is faithful where? In much. And the more that you respond, the more responsibility God is going to give you and reward you. And with that comes great difficulty, but also great glory in terms of what God is allowing you to do, what God is giving you to do. And sometimes it's difficult to stand. You're in positions. Maybe people are asking you questions. And you struggle. And that's okay. But God will give you the strength to answer. Even if you don't know. And I should have looked up that verse. But don't worry about when you have to appear in front of somebody. If you didn't prepare, God will bring to you. And I'm paraphrasing that verse. Anybody know what that verse is? You know which one I'm talking about? Some people are going, yeah, but I can't remember what it is. I should have looked that up. And I hadn't even planned to use that, but that was just one of the things that God just popped into my mind there. But he will give you what you need in that hour. So don't fret. Do not fear. Be faithful to where he has called you. And I think for Charlie, as he sat through a lot of those, and if you've watched him, how he handled those debates and the questions that would come were phenomenal. The things that that guy could answer. And he didn't have a college education. He took some online classes from Hillsdale. He wanted to go to the United States Military Academy, and they didn't accept him. So he started to go to college, and he went, this is nonsense. This is stupid. This is not for me. And so he went and started his own business at the age of 18. And then he began to take some online classes from Hillsdale. And he would debate Oxford students and just put them to shame. It was amazing if you watch his stuff. But I know undoubtedly God was bringing those things to mind for him to answer. And he will do the same for us. May he find us faithful. But let your light shine. Lastly, verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. 1 Peter 2:12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Keep your behavior excellent. Even when you're challenged. And it's that, It's that meekness. And meek does not mean weak. Those two words do not go together. A lot of people try to say that, but that is completely wrong. Meek means you're standing politely in the truth in which you have, but you're also going to use it. And there's times you may need to unload it with firmness, but also with reverence, but also with righteousness, that we would never back down from that stance, that we will always stand firmly on the word of God. John 8:12, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And praise God, we know where Charlie's at. It's like any end of lifetime event, just like yesterday when at the funeral here, as I talked to that family. And there's grief because that person is no longer there. You can't hug that person and talk to them and cry with them and laugh and joy and all of those things. They're not there in the immediacy of the moment. But if they knew Christ as Savior, you know where they're at. And if we know, we will go and be with them in whatever time frame God allows that to be. We don't know. But praise God of Charlie's faithfulness, his righteousness, his belief in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And where and what Christ is going to do with the events of this past week. So what? This past week has been a firestorm of ideas, activity, self-proclamation, self-denial, anger, hatred, finger-pointing, fault-finding, bigotry, love, and a whole bunch of other words that you could probably put in there. Have we stepped into a new dimension of thought? I think so. It's also an old dimension of thought. Christ is still on the throne. That hasn't changed. There will be those wanting the church to play more in the political arena. I don't think that's the answer. The church has called to be the church. Yes, there are political things that come into the church arena that have to be dealt with, like abortion, murder, transgender ideas, homosexuality, all of those things. And we know what Scripture teaches us in all of those areas. There will be those that want the church to play less and to back away. God didn't call us to back away. He called us to confront. We are to confront sin with love, as Jesus Christ did so in his own time. And he's still working in us, in our hearts, in those same arenas. I've been amazed at, as I said earlier, the number of times that the name of Jesus Christ was spoken on the TV. Two words that a few years ago you couldn't say. You would be bleeped and it would be hidden. It would be, no, you can't touch that subject. And it's been debated and debated. And I praise God for it. Unfortunately, there are some that will probably overlook it or just gloss it over and not really think about what is Christ doing in our midst. The crucial issue is to be present and live out the gospel as Christ would have us do. Yes, we are to confront sin, but how do we do that? With the love that Christ portrayed all the way through his ministry. Our mission here at High Plains and our mantra in that vision that Steve talked about is to love God, love one another, and make disciples. That mission doesn't change. We must be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and follow as he calls us. Where does he want us to go? I think God will direct us into more areas. Be prepared. It's been an amazing year. I mean, the things that we have done so far, a lot of the things that we laid out in our year one vision have happened. And I think get prepared because they're going to happen faster. And sometimes we may think, God, I can't go any faster. Get bigger track shoes or faster track shoes or something, because it's there. And what is God doing? Our enemy will definitely confront us and will attack us in all fronts and in every area. So be prepared. Have your word, have the word of God with you, and be ready. Prayer and discernment will be needed now more than ever before in the past. One of the things that Wednesday night, as we talk to all of those that are coming alongside us for the youth ministry, we're looking for a prayer team. And if you want to be part of that, we would love to sign you up. Because I think that group especially, we have got to uphold in prayer like you've never seen. Because of what is going on for the minds of our youth, our young men and women, whether it's sixth grade on up, or even below that, but in youth ministry, sixth grade to high school, and how they are being targeted in so many ways. But we need to be praying like never before. And as I said at the beginning, don't just go to church. Be the church. We are the church. Put on your shoes. Put on the belt of righteousness, the breastplate, the helmet, to pick up your sword and be ready for the warfare that is coming. And may God be glorified.